Thanks for checking out the Reveal Vineyard podcast. Our mission is simple. Find God, find others, find yourself. That's it. We hope through these conversations, your spirit will be stirred. For more information on Reveal, you can visit our website at www.revealvineyard.com.
So we've been in a study that's just simply been called I Am, where we've been looking through the Gospel of John to see how John unveils Jesus. And I have to get a drink of this because that Pepto-Bismol. Oh, remember as a kid I thought that stuff was candy, but that stuff is bad. We're looking at how John unveils Jesus to us. Now, I told you, I've been telling you that good news, gospel simply means good news. So the Gospel of John, the Gospel of Matthew, it's just the good news of Matthew, good news of John. The good news that John is writing about is Jesus. If you need good news today, God is seeking you, not to condemn, but to cover, not to ruin, but to restore you. And so the good news of the gospel is that God is active in redeeming mankind through Jesus Christ. And that is the good news that the writers write about. And so today we're going to look at another I Am statement that John uses to unveil Jesus. We're going to be in John 10. If you have your Bibles today, or I encourage you to bring your Bibles as we've been kind of going verse through verse in this series. We're going to be in John chapter 10. See what John has to say about the I Am statement today. Starts off with this. Truly, truly, I say to you. Now, truly, truly, simply would be our way of saying, pay attention, or you can take my word on it, or take this to the bank. This is solid what I'm about to say. Jesus says, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Now, Jesus is going to be speaking about a sheepfold today. We have some images there to kind of explain what that is. Sheepfold is just rocks, a wall of rocks. Sometimes it could be a thicket of bushes and things like that. But typically rocks where the sheep would go into at night to be protected. Often they did not have a door, and so the shepherd, as you see there, would lie out across the opening and would be the door of the sheepfold. Other times at night, if the shepherd was not there, a hired hand would come and would watch over the sheep. Wasn't the shepherd, but would be paid to watch over the sheep and would lie in the doorway there. And so look at verse 3 as it continues. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying. So Jesus is about to reload, and he's going to try again to explain this thing. Verse 7. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. So now he's using a second metaphor here. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am, again, Jesus says, the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And then he says, verse 16, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. This is very possibly some biblical evidence for extraterrestrial life out there. Come on, if you know me, you know that's not what I'm saying, right? That would be horrible exegesis of Scripture. It's not what it's saying. Although I have met people who say, well, Jesus said there are folds. He has sheep not of this fold. And so, you know, that means. No, here's what it means. Jews, Gentiles, Jesus is talking to the Jews. He says, I have sheep that are not of your little tribe. I have a whole nother set of sheep, Gentiles, non-Jews, and I'm going to bring them together, all right? As much as you want E.T. Hey, I wouldn't be surprised if somewhere out there there's something, but the Bible isn't talking about it here, right? So here's what it says. So there will be one flock. Jesus said, I'm going to gather everybody to myself, Jews, Gentile, male, female, everyone. So it will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me because I lay down my life and take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay down of my own accord. Now, often, Jesus, if we see, is always trying to communicate something to people that adequately gives a picture of what he is about, what the Father is like. And so we see him constantly looking for metaphors, word pictures, to adequately explain to us that we would have an understanding of God. Because Jesus knew that for us to relate and to understand the essence and the character of God would be very foreign to us. Because of our sin nature, much of what God does and much of what God says is void and lost on us. And so Jesus is really looking for something to say, this is what I am like. This is what the Father is like. Look, we serve an invisible God. We can't see him. We can't audibly hear him. We can't physically feel him. The love that he offers is a love that we've never that we don't know of, let alone have experience. And Jesus, understanding that, says, let me try to put this in terms that you might understand what God is like. And so to a culture who knows a lot about sheep and a lot about shepherding, he says, I am the good shepherd, which was great for the first century believers, but I haven't been around sheep a whole lot, right? And I don't know much about shepherds. What I know about sheep can be summed up in one phrase. Mary had a little lamb whose fleece was white as snow. That's all I got, right? And so we're going to look at this vivid painting, this word picture that Jesus rolls out in front of us to say, this is what I am like. This is what the Father is like. So the good shepherd, what does the good shepherd do? Well, let's talk about that. Jesus explains that the relationship between the good shepherd and his sheep begins with this. The shepherd must lead the sheep. In other words, if you want to have the shepherd, then the shepherd must lead the sheep. Look at verses 10, chapter 10, verses 3 through 4. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls the sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Listen, if you want to know if Jesus is your shepherd, just look out in front of you and see if he's there. If the shepherd's not in front of you, there might be some problems. So the first thing we could say here is, who's leading? If you're leading on your own, that's problematic. So let's just get this hardest one out of the way, this idea of leading and us following, because we struggle with this, because I have this problem that I always want to be in charge. Matter of fact, I have a disease that causes me to think that I'm always right. Just ask my wife. Anyone else have that disease? And if you have that disease, you need to be in charge because you're right. And so now we come to the shepherd and we bring this disease and we're like, hey, Jesus, I'd love to be in this relationship, but just kind of stand a couple steps behind me because I'm going to be leading. And oftentimes, we don't want Jesus to lead us. Instead, we want Jesus to be on our council, kind of like our advisory board. Hey, Jesus, we want you to be on the board of our life. And we want your input, but we don't want you sitting at the head of the table in the CEO chair. What about the consultant Jesus? That Jesus, we want to hear what you have to say. And we're going to come to you with a vast array of ideas and situations, and we want to hear you out, but we need to retain veto power. And so if you give us something that we like and that feels good, man, we're going to be glory to God, yes. But if you tell us something that we don't really like or doesn't sit well, if your consultation tells us to love someone we don't want to love or forgive when we've been wronged or to run from a particular sin that we're enjoying, then we're going to pull out our big stamp and veto. Hey, what about this Jesus? What about co-pilot Jesus? You ever see the bumper sticker, God is my co-pilot? Really? He's your co-pilot. We got a pilot in. I was just talking out in the lobby there. Hey, let's just say this. God is not co to anyone. See, so what you're going to say is, Jesus, your co-pilot, he does what you tell him to do so he can get you where you want to go. Is that what it is? Okay, so next time you see that on someone's car, just rip it off for him. Doesn't matter if you know him. You are doing them a favor, all right? Or if you got a Sharpie, just cross it out. What about this one? What about life coach Jesus? Hey, Jesus, be my life coach. You know, we want you to encourage and to inspire and to guide and to motivate me and say, yes, you can do it, but don't get too aggressive and step out in front because, you know, I can find another life coach if you want to do that. Never do you see the sheep leading the shepherd. You know what you call a sheep who's leading a shepherd? Dead. Because they can't survive without the shepherd. And so never do you see this reversal. Jesus says, look, this is not a 50-50 relationship that we're entering into. It's not even an 80-20 relationship. I mean, one of my favorite shows, anybody like Shark Tank? Love that show. Love it. I'm trying to think of something to get on that show, and I got nothing. But if you haven't seen it, the inventors come before the sharks, and they try to get an investment. And depending on how much work is going to be involved, the investors will ask for 10%, 20%, 30%, if it's a lot of work, 50%, or I've even seen 75% of the profits of the company we want. Here's what it means. Now we come before God and we say, hey God, I want to enter into a relationship with you. And God says, I want to enter into that relationship far more than you do. But here's the deal, 100%. We're like, well, how about can I keep 20? 100%. I follow, you lead, I'm the shepherd, you're the sheep. Galatians 2:20, Paul says it like this. This is your memory verse. If you've never gotten the Quizlet app, it's free. You need to get it. It's on the App Store. Search under Reveal Church, all one word. Here is your memory verse. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, right? He's not leading. He's dead. But Christ now lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This is what it means to be a follower of Jesus. He's in charge, and he is leading. The beginning of a healthy, ongoing relationship is the shepherd's in charge. The relationship that we're invited into has all these significant layers. And yes, Jesus is our guide, and he encourages us, and yes, in a measure of speaking, he's even like a life coach, but none of that happens unless he is first leading us. Look at the second thing that the shepherd does, is the shepherd provides. Jesus says, verses 7 through 9, Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. Anyone who enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out. And here's what the shepherd provides. Find pasture. Then he goes on in verse 10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But he says, I provide you, I've come to give an abundant life. It's echoed of Psalm 23 that David wrote. We'll put it on the screen. We'll read it to you. The Lord is my shepherd. It's famous. You've heard it probably. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul, and he leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Typically, we see this passage read at funerals. But David did not pen this in order for us to know that after death, things will be okay. This was a passage for the living. Matter of fact, it was for the living to teach us how to live before we die. See, David wrote this not when life was abundant, but when life was extremely difficult. And David is giving this to teach us how to live even in the midst of what may feel like death. And so David says in this that the Lord is my shepherd, and as my shepherd, I shall not want. David does not say that the Lord is my shepherd and I have everything I've ever wanted. See, there's this teaching going around in the church that says that you should be wealthy and blessed and prosperous, and if you give your seed money, God must do whatever it is that you ask him to do. God is bound to do it, and therefore you just need to receive it by faith, and it's all yours, and you know, mansion is around the corner. The Bible just doesn't teach that. That's all later, in another time. And we ask for God to come in and intervene when we're sick and when we have needs. And he says he'll give us wisdom, but we've kind of placed this false idea upon people. David does not say, hey, God gives me everything I've wanted. See, there's a difference between saying, God, give me more, versus going through the most difficult times of life, finding God, and in that moment saying, God is enough. And that's what David is saying. He's like, even when my life is bottom, I come to you, my shepherd, and in you I find that you are enough. That's an incredible statement, one that we can all strive towards. And so the shepherd will provide green pastures if we will allow him to lead. Look at the third one. The shepherd protects. Verses 11 through 17. I am the good shepherd, he says. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Go to the next slide there if you would. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for my sheep. Next verse. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life. Here's what Jesus is saying. Listen, no one will fight for you the way I will fight for you. See, it's one thing to fight for someone who loves you, but Romans 5 tells us that he fought for us, died for us, while we were still enemies of his. Now that is love. And so Jesus is making it clear, I protect my sheep. One of my memory verses, Psalm 35:1, I pray it often, God, contend with those who contend with me and fight against those who fight against me. This is out of my control. It's beyond my ability. So God, I need you to go before me. And as my shepherd, you contend with those that are coming against me. David, before he became king, he was a shepherd. And he knew something about shepherding and knew that if he did not perform his responsibility, the sheep suffered and even died. And so in 1 Samuel 17, we get this picture of Goliath, who is going out in front of the army of God, the Israelites, and he's taunting them. Every day he would come out and he would taunt them, and the armies would quake in fear and no one would go to address him. David was the youngest in his family, overlooked and, you know, this runt of a kid. And the father, Jesse, sends him to the battle lines and says, go bring word to your brothers and bring some food. And David leaves the house and leaves the flock and goes up, finds his brothers. And when he finds his brothers, here's Goliath coming out and he's taunting the army of God. And David says, who is this dead dog that he would say something like that to the people of God? And all in authority starts saying, well, what are you going to do about it, David? Brothers are mocking him. Like, what, did you just come out here to talk a big game and you want all the attention to yourself? You know how older brothers are. And finally goes before King Saul, and Saul's like, well, what are you going to do about it? And David says something interesting. He says, hey, I know you see me as small and weak, but see, I've been a shepherd and I've been in a few scraps. And he says, once a bear came and snatched one of my flock, and you know what I did? I saw the bear, I killed the bear, got my flock back. And then he said, in another time, a lion came and tried to take one of my flock, and you know what I did to the lion? It's in the cat family, if you know I don't like cats a lot. He says, you know what I did? I dropped the cat, possibly the best verse in all of the Bible. He said, I dropped the cat. Listen, David says, do you know why I went up against a bear, and you know why I went up against a lion? Because that's what a shepherd does. That a shepherd is not afraid to fight for his sheep. Now, we don't have a shepherd who is afraid to fight for his sheep. Matter of fact, David is a good shepherd, but Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. In other words, others may run and hide, and others it may be a toss-up who's going to win, the shepherd or the bear. But Jesus says, when I come into the battle, there's no doubt who's winning. I am the good shepherd. You may be afraid of your lion, and you may be afraid of your bear, but your shepherd has no fear. And so he protects us. And then the final thing we see is he restores us. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters, he restores my soul. The role of the shepherd is to care and to lead and to place his sheep in the position where they will be most cared for and healthy and protected. And David says, this is what the shepherd is like. He leads you into green pastures, into still waters. And that phrase actually means he causes my life to return. And I like that. Look, here's what I know, because I've been there. It's parts of my life. There are some of us here today, and you're living, but you're not living. And if truth were known, the life is leaving you day by day because the enemy is stealing it from you. And David says, our shepherd leads you to the place you need that life may return to you. And what I love about it is David knew that life could return regardless of even when people let him down. Even when the king was out to kill him, even when his own men were about to go against him, David knew that the shepherd could return life even when he was a thief and a liar and an adulterer. David knew that even when he found himself in a dry, parched land where everything was dead, the shepherd was just a call away to come and to lead him out into the place where he needs to be. You see, restoration is not getting out of your life. If you have to vacate your life in order to be restored, you're going to be disappointed. Vacations are great, but they're not reality, right? Because the problem with vacation is you have to come back. And about 3 days before your vacation is over, what starts to happen? You fight it, but it's almost over. In 2 days, you're like, I'm fighting it, but it's almost over. You're like, it's basically like by the time you take out showers and bathroom breaks and sleeping, I may as well already be home. It's over. Jesus does not remove us from life in order to restore us. He restores us while we live life. He is our restorer. Now, I want to wrap all this up into that second metaphor Jesus talks about, John 10:9. It says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and will find pasture. I always found this odd, this idea of going in and out, because in my mind, I could understand that we come to Jesus and find Jesus, but why would we want to go out from Jesus? So we come to Jesus and then we leave Jesus, and I'm not sure, what does that mean? Why would I ever want to leave Jesus? But remember the metaphor. Go to that screen again, Chris. It's the sheepfold. Jesus is the door. And what he's saying is that as the door, you can come in and you can go out. Because what would happen is, as I told you, the shepherd would lie in front of that opening and would serve as the door. And the sheep would come in to the sheepfold because they needed protection. And then in the morning, they couldn't stay there. They'd have to be led out to find pasture for nourishment. They would come in and lie down, and then they would go out and receive what they needed. And here's the thing. In the past, the church has kind of had this idea that we needed a man or a person in order to lead us to Jesus. But Jesus is saying, you don't need an individual. I am the door. In other words, he's saying, whatever it is that you need in your life today, I am the door. You may need to come in for protection from the wolf that's in your life. Pass through me. You may need nourishment. I am the door. I will lead you to pastures and clean water. You may need to come in and lie down, and then I may lead you out to go do something else, but you pass in and out through me. Now, this idea of passing through an individual presents a problem, because if the priest isn't available at 1 a.m., what do you do? Or if you try to call me at 2:30 in the morning and my phone's off, what do you do? Jesus says, I am the door. In other words, you can access the door anytime, anywhere that it's needed, because access is never restricted. Jesus says at 2:30, if you need to come into the sheepfold, I'm the door. I'll protect you. Jesus says if you need nourishment at 4 in the morning, I'm the door. I'll lead you where you need to be. You're never going to see a closed sign on the door. There's never going to be a went out for lunch sign. You're never going to be closed until further notice sign. It's never going to be a changed location sign. Jesus says, I am the door. No one keeps you from the door. No one can block it from you. No one can hide it. No one can contain it. Jesus says, I'm the door. I'm always open. The door is not a physical location, but it's a spiritual presence. That means that your bathroom can turn into your sanctuary if you come to the door. That means that your car can be your worship experience because the door is always open. Anytime, anywhere, the door is open. If you perish, it's not because of the shepherd. If you perish, it's not because the door was locked. If you don't walk through the door, he won't force you. You can come up to the door. You can be around the door. But if you don't walk through, he's not pushing you in. There are some people who refuse to be comforted, refuse to be encouraged, refuse to be inspired. But that's not on the shepherd. And then there's some others who, man, every chance you get, you're at the door. You're first in line. Doesn't matter where you are or what you're doing or what life looks like. You're desperate and you're constantly going to Jesus as the door. When the wolf is nearby, you're going to the door for some protection. When you need nourishment, you're passing through the door. Some of you, you find the door in your cubicle at work. Maybe you find the door in your classroom. Mom, some of you have found the door on 2 a.m. feedings where you needed Jesus. And you came to the door. Some of you, moms, you find Jesus during dirty diaper changes. Now, man, we know nothing about that, right? Because the door is always open. Jesus says, it doesn't matter what time, what place, I'm the door. You can come in and I'll lead you out. But then there's another part of this where Jesus says, I lead you to life, but there's another one who's trying to destroy you. John 10:10, put that back up. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. If it kills and if it steals and if it destroys, you don't need to debate it. It's the thief. And then the Bible tells us that at times the wolf will come, but he's going to be dressed in sheep's clothing. See, sometimes the wolf is going to come to your door dressed in blue jeans with blue eyes, being a real smooth talker. Ladies, have you ever seen one like that before? But in the end, it was the wolf. Guys, we may have seen a wolf who, she looked good, had eyes that just were beautiful, but in the end, she pulled you away from the shepherd because she was a wolf. Sometimes the wolf is going to appear as a friend and an ally, but they're a wolf. And Jesus, the Bible tells us, the wolf's going to come, and at times, very sneaky, very crafty, is going to put on sheep's clothing. But if it robs, if it steals, if it destroys, it's a wolf. And for some of you, that's a message that God is speaking to you. Because you're flirting with something, and it's robbing you, and it's destroying you, but you think you're going to get your, get containment of it. It's a wolf. And you're going to lose that fight. Because to a sheep, a wolf is bad news. If a wolf and a sheep stepped into the ring to fight it out to the death, and I asked you to place a wager, who would you bet on? But before you do, look at this. Before you do, you should know that a sheep's teeth are just for grazing. And they have a lot of wool, and they're slow. And you know what they do when they're attacked? They don't buck, they don't kick, they don't have sharp talons. They bleat. Back off. That's what they do. It's bad, but you get the idea. The wolf, on the other hand, the wolf has fangs. And it can rip through flesh and jaw pressure that can crush bone. And it hunts in packs. And it's smart. And it's patient. And it will lie wait. And it will lure you in. And you'll think everything is safe and everything is good. But the wolf is letting you to draw you away from the flock a little further until one day it'll be too late and the wolf makes his move. To a sheep, a wolf is bad news. And we're the sheep, which often causes us to complain to God. And we'll say, well, God, if I'm a sheep, then why did you place me among so many wolves? God, why did you place me in an office place that is full with wolves? Why did you give me a neighbor that's a wolf? Don't you know that my mind and that I don't have the fortitude and the wisdom and the ability to fight this fight? And God, if you're a good God, do you not understand that I have cravings in my flesh? And why do you place me here? Well, the wolves come in and try to devour me. And God, don't you know that I toss and turn And I'd lose sleep at night because I smell a wolf. Don't you know, God, that I wake up the next morning dreading this day because there's a wolf? Don't you know that I'm up in fear and anxious because the shadow of the wolf is passing in front of my door? I see the shadow. God, if you're so good, why did you place me among wolves? God, how can you place me in a position that I am ill-equipped to fight? I'm glad you asked, because he gives the answer. Look at verse 10. The thief comes, the wolf comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. But I, there's your answer, the shepherd has come that you may have life and you may have it full. When the wolf is by your side, when the wolf is outside your window, fangs dripping, it's ready to take from you and rob from you. There's four words that Jesus would speak over us. The shepherd is coming. See, that's the solution to a wolf. God's not going to remove you out of the world. In other words, he says, you're going to have to stay in this world, and there's going to be some tension, but the good news is that the shepherd is coming. The shepherd is coming. And so Jesus says, the wolf too close? Then pass through the door. Get inside the sheepfold. I'm not afraid of your wolf. Matter of fact, you can hear him sing it. Who's afraid of the big bad wolf? Not your Savior. Not your shepherd. If the wolf is coming, pass through the door. If you need some nourishment, go through the door into the fields where the water is calm and the pasture is green. Jesus says, I'm the door. I'm the good shepherd. The wolf may scare you. It has nothing on me. Now, I don't know where you might be at today, but chances are some of us have a wolf that's at the door. You have a wolf that's been hunting you and stalking you and waiting for you to slip up. Here's the good news. The shepherd is coming and the door is open. That you're not in this fight alone. That victory does not depend on your craftiness and your skill. The shepherd will fight for you like no one else will.